All right, so I asked about people to talk to because we're going to talk about conversations and people we talk to today. Now, one of my favorites I put on the social media pages, my kids are fun to talk to. My daughter, who's like 2.5, is hilarious to talk to because it doesn't make a lot of sense, but she just rambles and rambles. So she's a lot of fun. My grandpa was also a lot of fun to talk to before he passed away. I remember sitting, he lived in an assisted living facility before he passed away, and Stacy and I were sitting there with him one day, and he just started telling stories and stories and stories that my dad didn't even know about him, about how he had been mayor of this small town in Illinois, and the story about how he bought the kitchen table that we now have in our house. Actually, my grandpa was a car salesman and a rep, and he, like, if you made a deal with him, that was the deal. So some story about this table and all this stuff, and he's just rattling off stories and having a blast. But it was just fun to listen to him and also to have those conversations. So those were fun. And I talk about conversations today because today Jesus is going to talk about prayer. And in very simple terms, prayer is talking to God, having a conversation with God. That's what we're going to look at today. We're in essence, the second week of what I've kind of called a mini-series on what's your motivation. Last week we talked about your motivation behind giving to the needy. Today we're going to get at motivation behind prayer and then how to pray. So in the first part, Jesus is going to give us that caution about having the wrong motivation. There's our motivation piece. And then he's going to get into how to actually pray. And we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, which is to many of you probably fairly familiar. So we'll get into that. I know there you may have heard a ton of teaching on the Lord's Prayer. We're going to go with just something that I've kind of been thinking about with it when we get to it. All right? So, and hopefully we can take the Lord's Prayer as helping us have the right motivation to pray and how to pray as Jesus taught. Today, when we think about prayer, here's what I would like you to take away today. Thinking about prayer is that prayer shouldn't be too casual or too complicated. And we're going to look at that in terms of the Lord's Prayer. So not too casual, not too complicated. Again, you could get a ton more from the Lord's Prayer, but that's what we're gonna get at a little bit later today. So with our passage, it's Matthew 6, 5 through 15. We'll put it up here behind me on the screen, also in your Bibles on the table. If you are following along, I will be in the NIV translation as always. We're going to break up the passage today to take a look at it. So we're going to start with Matthew 6, 5 through 8, and this will be Jesus' caution to us about prayer. So let's read that. Matthew 6, starting with verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So I think the caution here, if I were to break it all down, kind of put it together here, Jesus' caution is don't make prayer a speech. So don't make it like this big speech we're giving. All right, in verses 5 and 6, he talks about public prayer. And this is, he gives a caution on public prayer. It's very similar to giving to the needy in that there's no prohibition against doing it in public. You can give to the needy in public. You can pray in public. But Jesus' caution is to don't do it to be seen. So if you're doing it in public, don't make your goal to be seen or heard by others. In the synagogues, people were actually invited to come up and pray. Right? And this showed a level of distinction or status. If you were one of the maybe elders or somebody that was invited up to pray in the synagogue, this was a big deal, right? We pray in front. I just prayed in front of you. Eugene just prayed in front of you here. This is something we do. It's perfectly fine, but again, it's the motivation to not be showing off while you're up here praying. And then the street corners. It's possible that people would stop and pray at specific times during Jesus' day. Jewish people observed multiple prayer times a day. So that it's possible if they were looking at a specific time, they would just stop and pray. Again, it's similar. If I was out walking down Main Street here in Verona, I could stop and pray. That's perfectly fine. But what Jesus is getting at is don't do that to be seen. Because in any type of prayer, wherever we're doing it, whatever we're praying about, Jesus is mostly concerned that we're not making it about what other people hear us praying about. Because that would be a speech. Now, we're all familiar with speeches. We've heard speeches throughout our lives. You can get speeches for big causes or speeches that are just big and inspirational. You think of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech that rallied people. People still quote it. It's a great speech, but it was something that we put outwards to others. Political speeches, the State of the Union that the president gave was pretty recent here. He gives updates on what's going on in the country, whatever anybody thinks of all that. He gives kind of these update speeches. There's persuasive speeches. I remember giving one of these back in the fifth grade. I ran for student council in the fifth grade. And they did the whole deal where they had you get up there and read a speech. And this is back in the day of the cool, like, 3x5 or 5x7 note card. I got my pencil out, you know, writing my speech. And I honestly don't remember everything I put in the speech. I wish I could have found it if I still had it. I'm sure I promised, like, more recess and gym or something cool like that. But the point of that was, right, trying to get elected to that fifth grade student council. Spoiler, I lost. Apparently it wasn't a very good speech. I didn't get on. Right? How did I not get on the student council? I don't know. What?
Promising more recess. I don't know.
How does promising more recess not get fifth graders to want to vote for you? That's all our child talks about coming home from school.
I promise more recess. They're like, yeah.
Right. See, I feel that would be like a rallying cry, right? Persuade you, vote for me. I'll give it. And my wife says she would have thought I was full of it. Not much has changed. She still thinks I'm a little full of it sometimes. But that's the point. It's a persuasive speech. The whole thing with any of these speeches aren't wrong. They're not a bad thing, right? Speeches are great, but they're outward. They're focused on other people listening. Prayer is upward. Prayer is communicating with God. We don't have to get a point across to God. We don't have to persuade God. We don't have to commemorate people to God. Other people don't need to hear us praying. They can, but that shouldn't be our focal point, is if they're listening to us. All right, and it's kind of similar again as giving to the needy. It doesn't have to be done in secret, but have a heart of being in secret. Jesus in this passage talks about going to into the inner room to pray. This was probably in homes at this time, room in the middle of the house, and very possibly the only room that you could actually lock a door to. So that's kind of his point of just put yourself, nobody can even get to you while you're praying. So it's just me and you is what God would say. Just me and you to pray together. That's what he's getting at. All right. Then in verses 7 and 8, he gets to the don't babble on and on part. This, probably my favorite part of this passage, when he says don't babble on and on like the pagans do. Non-Jewish prayers, so pagan prayers at this time, a lot of times had some magical incantations or certain ways of reciting things or a certain order and how you say it. And they became very mechanical. Right, they were just very mechanized. And that actually meant more than your heart or intent behind your prayer. If you said it in the right order, you said the right things, you said the exact words, you were more likely to have your prayer answered than based on what your heart was. Then they would probably also just keep going and going and going in hopes that, hey, maybe there's one of the gods that we serve that's still asleep. Maybe if I just keep talking, I can wake him up. And maybe I can get him to think, oh, whoa, Jeff needs something that I didn't even think about. Yeah, I'll help him out with that. Just keep going on and on. The thought being, more must be better. Maybe this will trigger something. But if I just keep saying a whole bunch of words and a whole bunch of stuff, I'm making my point better, and that's going to help. That's what they thought. Jesus is saying, no, that's not the case. I talked about this with my older brother recently, this week. He's a high school social studies teacher. Teaches a lot of AP classes, honors classes. And his students write a fair amount of papers. And my brother is known to be a difficult grader. All right, he's a tough grader. You earn the grades you get in my brother's classes. And I asked him, I said, hey, when you assign papers, do you assign a maximum word count to your papers? Now, back in a lot of our days, it was page length, but then teachers wised up to the fact different fonts and stuff made papers longer. So now it's all word counts. And I said, do you assign a maximum? He said, every time. Because he's like, usually in those first two paragraphs, I can tell if my students know what the heck they're talking about. He's like, I don't want all the fluff. I don't want them to just write a bunch of stuff that doesn't prove their point. He's like, I give assignments early in the year that are really short to see if they can just be clear and concise quickly. He doesn't want a ton of extra words. He doesn't need them to go on and on to prove what they know. God's like this with prayer. I don't think God minds a super long prayer. If you have a ton of words in your prayer or you pray for an hour, I don't think God minds. He doesn't. But doing that doesn't make our prayer more effective than a five-minute prayer or a short prayer, right? Because God already knows what we need. we can't surprise him by saying more things. We can't bring something up to him and be like, oh, I didn't even realize you needed that. God knows. He still wants us to come to him with our prayers and to ask and to petition him for things, but he already knows, all right? So prayer is communicating with God. It's a conversation with God. It's not a speech, and it's not one that has to drag on and on and on, all right? That's kind of what Jesus is getting at. That's his caution, all right? So it's not a speech. It doesn't have to go on and on. Well, then Jesus gets into, okay, if I'm telling you to not pray like this and not do this, I should probably help you out with how to pray. So he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And again, this is generally fairly well known. Lots and lots of discussion on it. Lots of incredible teaching and books written on just this prayer. When you kind of break it down, if you look at it, it's we're looking at it from Matthew. Verses, 9 and 10 really focus on God. And then 11 through 15 focus on us and those around us. So it's kind of a you to God and then kind of an us. And the approach I want to take with it today is we're going to look at it in those two ways. But in that first section, we're going to learn to not make prayer too casual. And in the second section, the we, to not make it too complicated. That goes back to our main point. So we're going to break it down that way. There are, again, a ton of other ways you can look at it, but that's how I want us to look at it today. So not too casual. Let's read Matthew 6, 9 through 10 and see what Jesus says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. With this, Jesus is reminding us to remember who we're talking to. All right, first part, Father in heaven, God's positioning. It's a reminder of God's positioning. He is in a place of authority. He is our Father, and he is in heaven. So it's God's positioning and authority. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed meaning treat as holy or make holy. God is perfect and spotless and blameless. He is holy, and we should remember that when we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Recognizing God's rule over everything. God's kingdom has come and will come here to earth. His will be done. God has the final say. We submit to his will. And then on earth as it is in heaven, God is ruler over both. He's in heaven ruling over heaven. He's also ruling here on earth. To start our prayer in this fashion and in this way is a great reminder of who we're talking to, who our audience is, in essence, if we think about it that way, and how we address him. I would guess, if you were able to talk, you have different ways of addressing people based on who you're talking to and how you say things. And some people can be put off by the way you address them. I'll be honest, I was at a coffee shop earlier this week. I was about to meet Eugene, and it was before he got there. And I went to the counter, and a very nice woman waits me at the coffee shop. And she starts off and says, "Hey, what can I get you, babe?" I was taken back. I'm like, she's called me babe. I've never seen someone before. The only person I call babe is my wife. And she's probably the only person I want to call me that. And probably we probably had a 90-second interaction of the time where I walked up to the counter and she handed me my delicious coffee and I walked away to go to my table. She probably called me babe 4 or 5 times. And I walked away from that being like, that's a little awkward. Like, that's just not something I would just randomly call somebody. Now, I don't think she meant anything bad by it. She was being personable. I call everybody dude. I have to watch that in a professional setting. All right, I've had to do that. I used to work customer service on the phone. And after I would get, a couple minutes into a conversation and people would try to make it more personal, I'd be careful not to just call them dude, right? Because that can be off-putting, all right? I call everybody dude. So if I ever call you dude, I don't mean anything by it. But the point is remembering who we're talking to. That's what we do with this first part of the prayer, remembering who God is. Does this mean you have to use these exact words? No, I don't think you do. Do I think it's a problem if you say, "Hey, God"? No. No, because God, yes, is still a friend. But I think we need to have a posture in our hearts of submission and recognition of who God is when we come to him in prayer. Remind yourself who we are talking to. It is God. So that's making prayer not too casual. Remember who we're talking to in prayer. Then there's the not too complicated piece. Again, this is how I see it. Matthew 6, 11 through 15. Let's read that. Matthew 6, 11. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Verses 14 and 15 there, not actually part of the Lord's Prayer. That's kind of an added piece that we're going to talk about here in a minute that relates to verse 12. So what I think Jesus does here is he actually lays out three areas to pray for. Needs, forgiveness, and what I'm going to call protection. And I think he does this, and why I say not too complicated, is for those of us that like to overthink things, which I know I am not the only one in this room like that, we can might get caught up in thinking we need the absolute perfect words to pray, the perfect things to pray for God to hear us or answer us. In essence, spending more time preparing to pray than actually praying. Now, should we prepare to pray? Yeah, I have listed out the things I want to pray for, but we don't have to have all of these perfect things outlined and think about all the million things in the world we want to pray for and then just get so overwhelmed that we don't even pray. Jesus gives us three simple things. Yes, we can pray about way more than these three things. Absolutely. But he gives us these three things. He makes it simple. He makes it so prayer doesn't have to be this complicated. He says our daily bread, this means daily provision, our daily needs. We all have daily needs. Jesus is saying pray for those daily needs. Does God know what they are? Yep. He still wants you to pray for him. And that's a great reminder to rely on God every day, to come to God every day, because every day we have needs. Every day we need God. Every day we need to talk with God. All right, that's what he's reminding us of with that daily bread. Forgive us our debts, or if you're familiar with maybe the other translations, our trespasses, as we forgive those who have debts against us or trespass against us. These would be not debts in terms of financial or anything like that. We're looking more at sins or wrongdoings. This shows how important forgiveness is to Jesus, because he lists this as one of three things to pray about every day. Forgiveness. All right? It's a two-way street, because it says as we forgive, and this is where it ties in with 14 and 15. How can we expect to be forgiven if we are unwilling to also forgive? Now, we know we will be forgiven by God, of course. He forgives us. But Jesus is making the point that we also need to offer forgiveness, how important forgiveness is. It's a behavior that we need to take on in our hearts every day, asking for forgiveness and the wrongdoings we do, but offering that at the same time. Give and receive. All right, and I think he's saying with this being in the Lord's Prayer every day, this is necessary and something we should do. Then the third part, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Everything I've read about this is that testing is maybe more what we mean here with temptation. God doesn't actually tempt us. All right, God won't drive us into temptation. If we look at when Jesus was tempted in the Bible, the devil tempted Jesus. But God doesn't promise that we won't go through times that test our faith, that test our willingness to follow God. All right, we will go through those, but Jesus is saying pray against those. Pray against being in these vulnerable situations or situations where we're weak, because we know we're weak. We know we will stumble, so pray against being in those. And then also, when they do happen, pray that we would ask God to deliver us and guide us out of those, deliver us from those, to be our strength, to be our protection, to give us wisdom. We get out of those by relying on God and not ourselves. Right, because a lot of those times I might put myself in that situation. On my own, I can't always get out. But asking God to daily deliver me from those, protect me from those, lead me out of those is what Jesus is saying to do. Now, when you put all those three things together, maybe it sounds heavy. Maybe it sounds like a lot. And maybe it sounds complicated. But I don't think it has to be. Because I don't think we have to describe all of this in crazy amounts of detail and use 20 words when maybe we're just describing one thing. You can. I don't think Jesus is saying you absolutely can't, but we don't have to. I want to try a little, let's do a little exercise together, all right? I'm going to describe a few things, and I want you to tell me what I am describing in something simple. So let's start with what I think is going to be an easy one. Clear lenses mounted in a frame that hold them in front of the eyes, typically utilizing a bridge over the nose and hinged arms known as the temples or temple pieces, which rest over the ears. What did I describe? Eyeglasses. It's a lot easier to say glasses, right? Okay, let's do another one. darkly colored, bitter, slightly acidic, stimulating effect due to its content. One of the most popular drinks in the world and prepared and presented in a variety of ways.
Coffee.
Yeah. All right, very good. Last one. Simple, complex, and acquired taste, varying forms. Simple. So let's do one again. Simple, complex, acquired taste, not for everybody. Short. Ooh, yeah. Gotcha here.
Espresso,
no. Quiet. Old. Scruffy. Yeah, my wife got it. I just described myself in my own words.
Quiet, old Jeff.
Yeah, as the guy up here with the microphone. Quiet and old. It was just my 36th birthday. I am old. I'm out. Closer to 50 than I am to 20 anymore. The acquired taste. That's the way I like to describe myself. Not for everybody. But the point is, we don't have to overcomplicate things. If I were praying for coffee, I don't have to use that whole description. I can just say coffee because God knows what it is. He doesn't need me to ramble on and describe it in great detail. Is that a problem? Not necessarily. But God doesn't need us to do that. He knows. He knows what our needs are without us complicating them. He just wants us to come to him and ask for it. He knows our hearts. All right, big, heavy topics don't require big, heavy words. They just require us to simply come to God. Pray for daily needs, forgiveness, protection. When you pray from an open heart and a sincere heart, it doesn't matter how much or how little we say. God hears it, and God will respond. So this week, maybe not surprisingly, I'm going to encourage you to pray. So take some time and focus on it, on what you pray. You know, whether you can pray out loud, you can pray to yourself, even write down your prayer sometimes. But use your own voice. Use your own words. God made you you. You don't have to say it exactly how the Lord's Prayer goes. If you want to, you totally can. You can pray that exactly. You can use your own words, but start by recognizing who God is in your life, in your prayer. That's the one I want to focus on, is reminding myself who God is in that position and having that posture when I come in prayer. And then pray for needs, forgiveness, and protection. Thank him every day for providing for those needs and every day for forgiving you and to help you forgive others and every day for being your protection. And most importantly, just do it. Go to God in prayer. Let's pray together now. God, we thank you that you are our Father in heaven, God, that you are, God, you're our ruler, God, that you are the King, God, that you have provision for us, God, you have plans for us as individuals, God, plans for us as a church, and plans for our communities, God. We thank you for being that. And God, I pray that this week we would all come to you, God, just in honest prayer, whatever we need to come to you with, however we need to say it, or we're going to say it, God, but that we would just come to you. We would remind ourselves of who you are. And God, we would just ask for what we need. God, we thank you that you know what we need already and that you're there to provide it. So God, we just thank you again for today, for this just incredible instruction on prayer and for giving us this prayer that Jesus told us about, God. In your name, amen.